I love that podcast. Go big or go home. It's the BS and Beer podcast show. Bonus coverage.
Yes,
sir. It's podcast only. We started doing this, kind of like it, whenever we have some extra thoughts or whatever that we can't squeeze in on the hour of our radio show.
That's right.
We bring it here. So
just getting them ready, because when the season starts, we'll be looking at that 1995.
That's right. That's right. 1995. Right. Listen, matter of fact, with the 1995, are we going to give them a little Don Bobo? No? That's extra?
Well, that might be extra.
It drives a hard bargain. Huh?
You know, look, we'll combine it, and you won't have to pay the extra $19.95, but just for a small fee on the side.
Yeah, just an extra fee.
Just a separate shipping and handling charge.
Yeah, no, right. Free shipping.
Free shipping,
just an extra fee on the side.
All right.
That's it. All right. Well, hey, it's Dave Romero. It's Heath Elson-San. It's Tomas Mauricio.
Yes, sir.
It's the BS and Beer podcast. I don't have to say nothing else.
Nothing else. That's all it is.
That's all it is. All right. So check it out. At the end of our radio show, we started talking about the NFL. Actually, Lil Dice sent us a tweet.
Yeah,
and matter of fact, Tomas, how could someone tweet you if they were looking to tweet you or follow you or something like that?
BS and Beer Huda.
All right.
He got nothing BS.
And I am Saints BS. Follow us on Twitter. We love talking football. We love talking Saints. Always looking to get into a conversation. So, all right, time for some bonus coverage.
Thank you. And now, it's time for the bonus round, where you play in front of dozens of people for tens of dollars. Tomas, Heath, Dave, are you ready? Let's play BS and Beer Podcast.
What we started talking about was the NFL meetings, and the competition committee is talking about the catch rule and pass interference.
Yes.
Two things to me that are huge. One of the things, I guess, after all the aggravation, all the frustration, all the complaining, I guess I can see where somebody wants to change the catch rule. I'm sorry. I think, to me, it's obvious. You catch the ball and you hold on to the ball. And this whole thing is, and people, I don't know, I don't understand what a catch is. To me, it's obvious. And I know I'm in the minority. I know that, matter of fact, I'm looking at you two, and I'm waiting for y'all to tell me to be quiet. So go ahead.
Well, you know, I know that's how you feel about it. And I think in most situations, that probably works fine. But there's been some situations come up where it's like, why is the, so, you know, if a running back that goes towards the goal line, all he's got to do is stick the ball out. If he breaks the front of the plane, it's all over with. He can drop the ball from there. He can get knocked out of his hand, okay? But let's say you have a receiver who catches the ball in the end zone. He catches it. He takes a couple of steps. He hits the ground, but the ball comes out. Now, why wasn't his automatically a touchdown at that point? He's in the end zone with the ball. Why the running back didn't have to hit the ground and keep holding on to it? Now, I understand if it's a bang-bang thing, right? If he just caught the ball and he hits the ground and it pops out or whatever, I understand that. But there's some fringe situations where it's like, okay, I think the guy established possession. He was in the end zone. Why wasn't it over at that point in a touchdown?
Okay. See, that point, I agree with you. Like, to me, Tomas, the difference is not surviving the ground. Not the difference. The problem is not surviving the ground. It's when does the player...
Yeah, it's this whole thing, when did he become the runner?
When did he become the runner?
Yeah. Right, because that's what I was going to bring up, because you have a perfect example of that. In the Steelers game.
Yes, that's the key example.
All right, the Steelers game, the tight end catches the ball. He has the ball. He breaks the plane. He hits the ground. The ball pops up. Sorry, incomplete. Okay, let's fast forward. In the Jacksonville game, New England, same team playing in this game. New England, the tight end catches the ball, breaks the plane at a goal, ball comes out. Oh, no, there is a touchdown.
Right.
Now, to me, it's very simple. You have to take out the difference between objective and subjective. Okay? And that becomes the real issue. Now, if you're going to have professional referees and you're going to pay them money as a professional referee, not some overweight guy who just had a dozen donuts over at Dunkin' Donuts.
Wait, that sounds like me.
Okay. Man, you eat Dunkin' Donuts?
You confuse me. Whatever.
Dude, come on, man.
I the ones over at the gas station. It don't matter.
Oh, my. Except when I bring you to Breakfast of Champions. Hey.
What was it? Sausage donuts with sausage and bacon in it.
Yeah.
Never. It was good, though.
Yeah.
Man, it's the Breakfast of Champions. You get those big square glazed donuts.
Yeah.
And then you cut them in half, and you put a nice piece of sausage inside of it.
Never in my
sausage
life.
Sausage patty.
Never had that in my life.
Or even a hamburger.
And then...
No, I'm
well,
serious.
There's
they
a place
them.
That makes
yeah.
them
with,
yeah. Yeah, makes them with a hamburger. That, yeah. Yeah, which is where I got inspiration from. I was like, I wonder what it's like with bacon inside. So I made the first one with bacon. I was like, ooh. Then I made the next one with sausage. Ooh. Now, what if you combine the two? Now, wait, it still gets better than that, because what if you put sausage, cheese, and bacon? Dude, now we have a party going.
Now we have a party.
But in any case, you've got me off track here. That's because I'm on a diet, and see, I'm thinking food all the time. But what I'm saying to you is that it has to be, look, this is exactly what it is every time.
No, the inconsistency is the it definitely.
And this is the problem, because just as Heath said, you have to decide at what point he's a runner, at what point he's not a runner, and it shouldn't make any difference. As Heath said, if you catch the ball in the end zone, what game was that? Was that the Detroit game? The Detroit game. Where the tight end caught the ball. It's always a tight end. Where the right. tight end caught the ball in the end zone, right. took a step. He had possession of the ball, and then the ball.
Was that against Atlanta?
Yeah, Detroit, yes, Atlanta. Yeah, that's yes, the game.
Yeah.
That's the game. And that there was no way you're going to tell me that was not a touchdown by Detroit. And yet, oh, no, you know, didn't maintain and going out of bounds. Dude, he had two steps in the end. He caught the ball. He's in it. That should have been
well,
a no-brainer.
It goes all the way back to the football move thing. We've been dealing with
exactly.
this interpretation of the football move. Of when yep. did he become turn from a receiver to a runner?
Right.
My frustration, you took it in a little bit different direction than I was angling at, but I agree with that part. Whatever you decide, it's got to be consistent.
Exactly.
Because the Jesse James, the Pittsburgh one, I mean, to me, I looked at that and I thought, okay, man, he caught the ball and he obviously planted his foot. Now, look, he didn't take three steps, but he planted his foot and dove to the end zone.
Yeah.
Right.
And then he fumbled it, and I could say, okay.
But after he broke the
ball. Right, right. That, okay, the problem with that was, when did he become
the runner?
Then that's the whole thing where the whole thing about, well, the running back just sticks the ball out, because he was already a runner. You know, he did. And this is what they need to clear up. I hope, because I read that they're talking about taking out the whole thing when the ball hits the ground and comes out. In other words, taking out the surviving the ground thing.
Right.
I don't agree with that. I agree with A, Tomas being consistent, and B is, when did you become a runner? Maybe be a little bit more laxed on that. But having said that, you catch the ball, diving or whatever, and you hit the ground, the ball comes out.
Yeah, but
that,
if
that
you
cannot
have
be catch.
But you go back to the other rule. There's another rule that says the ground cannot cause a fumble. Isn't that a rule?
Yeah, but that's not causing a fumble. It's causing an incompletion.
But, okay, if you catch the ball, and again, let's go to the Philadelphia game. Okay, in the Super Bowl game, you have Philadelphia, New England, and it seems New England got the comeuppance, right? Because in the Pittsburgh game, they got the call against Pittsburgh. In this game, they got the call against them.
Right, right? And you have to imagine that all the hoopla over the Pittsburgh game put them
in the heads of the referees.
Yeah, the referee's like, you know.
So you catch the ball, you break the goal, and then when you fall down, it comes up. Well, you've got the ball in your hand. Now, if you're juggling the ball, then I can say, okay, that's a whole different story. But if you've got the ball, you've got possession of the ball. I don't care if you didn't make a move at all. You've got possession of the ball. You're in the end zone. You've broken a plane. The play is dead. You hit the ground. Boom. The ball pops out. Doesn't make any difference. It shouldn't. The play is dead. No different than on the field. If Mark Ingram comes around the side, he goes to hit the ground. He hits the ground. And when he hits the ground, the ball comes out. It's not a fumble. The ground cannot cause a fumble.
Well, all right. So moving on.
All right.
The pass interference. This one
is really
going to be hard to get anybody to disagree with this one.
Yeah.
I have no idea why it's taken this long. And you know, like, don't get me wrong. I've never brought it up, never thought about it. It just is what it is. It's always been that way. Heath, I've heard you complain about it, and it kind of...
Well, it's like, that way in college, and that's always made more sense to me. Yes. You just cannot... and that's the part where it really is when you know a team had nothing left, they throwing up a hope and a prayer to get this long defensive penalty.
And then, on worst case, or the one that I hate the most, is the ball's underthrown.
Yeah.
And he just lobs, throws it up in the air. It's underthrown. The defensive back is covering him like a blanket.
Right.
The receiver stops. The cornerback's running 4-3, right?
Right.
And now all of a sudden, he's trying to put on the brakes, and he got his hands back and his chest bumps into the guy, and then here comes the flag. And it's just like the most horse crap call that you can give, bailing a guy out on an underthrown ball that, underthrown on purpose. I get that sometimes they do that.
Right.
Drew Brees does the back shoulder. And sometimes
there's
these
guys a difference between a back shoulder and a wounded duck that you
threw.
Right.
Exactly.
And just you're just bailing the guy out, because then even that, I have a hard time giving up the 15 yards. There has to come a point where the defensive back has to have the right to continue
running.
That's
a different story.
That's what I was going to say. I'd really prefer that they fix the calls to begin with.
Yeah.
Right.
And then go
and then the penalty
the 15-yard issue. But, I couldn't agree more with the change to a 15-yard.
And I think it'd be hard to fix those calls anyway because, again, how many times have you seen that the yellow flag comes flying 10 yards away?
Oh, yeah. The
because
guy right
not
there
in the
doesn't
right
call
position.
It.
Yeah,
they're not in the right position to even know what happened in the play. They just, he hit him as a pass interference.
I mean, you're talking about some 50, 60-year-old guy.
No, wait,
no
be
offense,
careful
Tomas.
Now. All right, be careful that, now.
They're obviously not in the condition you're in.
That's
they're
right.
not svelte and slim,
that's right, buddy.
Athletic like you are. The point is that you're running down the field, and these guys are running at kids, and they're running 4-3, and then here comes that referee, and he's...
he's running 7-3.
Yeah. If that.
And at some point, I just don't think that... Look, they have to change this. To me, I don't see how it won't get done. This is not one of those rules where I think it gets to the owners' meetings and owners say, let's table that. What do you gain by this play by any stretch of the imagination? What do you gain by this?
Well, you know that the Pittsburgh Steelers will be voting for this. You know that the New England Patriots will be voting for it. You know that all the teams who are affected by it during the season are going to vote for changing it.
Right.
I don't see it being tabled. I really don't. But, stranger things could happen.
Well, okay. While we're talking NFL, did you hear Jerry Jones?
Yes, I know you're going to bring it up too.
I wasn't planning on it just when you said Dallas is going to vote. I'm like, you just named all the big name teams that, for whatever reason, are in the doghouse with the NFL. Jerry Jones, the owner of the Cowboys, who didn't like the way that certain situations Ezekiel Elliott...
It was all about the Ezekiel Elliott thing.
...was handled, decided to try a coup against Roger Goodell in the form of saying, hey, man, I don't think he deserves all that money. We should look at a different thing. We shouldn't renew his contract. Well, Goodell wins, and now he's like, you're going to have to pay for these legal fees for talking about suing us, and it's somewhere in the neighborhood of $2 million.
Yeah.
It's not – I don't know how the news presented it. The way I read it, it's more of like – it's not really a fine so much as like, hey, you're going to have to pay these legal costs for this this lawsuit frivolous.
I think it's because the other owners – what I read in a couple of places was that – The bottom line was the other owners are ticked off because he crossed over an unspoken line in doing what he did. And the other owners are like, man, don't look at me to come up with $100,000 to pay this stuff. Let Jerry pay for it, since he was the one who brought it all up. So, they did say it'll cost him a couple of $1 million. But then again, what's a couple of $1 million of Jerry Jones?
It's nothing.
Yeah, exactly. Look, I just want to say that this may be the only time in history that this would ever happen, but I agree with Jerry Jones 100% on the Roger Goodell contract issue.
Yep. Well, doesn't it put things in perspective? Let me get to that before I make my point about which one I like the least. But, how does this guy end up like, I'm an owner. I didn't like the job that you're doing. I think he can make a viable argument that Goodell did a poor job of running the business over the course of the last several years.
Yeah.
Including some things that have come to light. And as a Saints fan, we all know about Bounty Gate. There's all kinds of other things that have
absolutely.
that have come to light about just mishandling tons of things.
Yeah.
You know, and who's in charge? The man running the ship.
Yeah.
Right there. So for me to say, hey, Jerry Jones is at fault and you're going to be penalized, I'm like, why should I be penalized? Because I don't think you're doing a good job. In addition, I'm essentially, while you're not his Goodell's boss, it's a crazy relationship. You're the owner. You hire him to be your boss.
Right.
You know, but I would definitely – but it, what I was going to say is it does put you in perspective who you like the least when you have two guys butting heads.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, I don't like either one, I would take Jerry Jones a million times over Roger Goodell.
Me too.
And I feel like despite the fact that I have just disdain for Goodell – like, Jerry Jones is more of a rivalry, you know? It's like, I dislike him because he's a Cowboy guy, and they're the Cowboys. I dislike Goodell, not just because of Saints issues, but just the way he's handled.
And he kind of it kind of makes you wonder why he has so much support from the other owners until you realize that the NFL has made unprecedented amounts of money under Roger Goodell's tenure.
It's the way he's marketed the NFL.
At the same time, and I'm not saying this is necessarily Goodell's fault, because it's kind of happening across the board. We just saw it with the Olympics and everything else. The media landscape is changing, the way people consume attention spans, the whole nine yards. But there's a pretty big problem brewing in the NFL right now about attendance.
Yep.
Yeah.
There's an attendance issue, and I don't know if y'all saw, but the Players Association head came out and said that basically – they want to have a say in how the NFL is being run and marketed, and in other words, to try to be able to do something about the attendance issue, because they know ultimately it's going to cost them all money.
Well, right. We all know what the attendance issue is about. It was about the simple fact that they did not handle properly Kaepernick. This all goes back to the whole issue of Kaepernick. Whether you side with him or you don't is not the issue. The issue is that Goodell and the NFL did not handle it right from the beginning, and they allowed something to fester that the fans... Joe, hardworking blue-collar fan, is outdone by it and doesn't want to spend his hard-earned $400 to go to a game, or spend his hard-earned couple of $1,000 for season ticket tickets.
Piggyback on what you're saying, what it boils down to, again, regardless of which side the issue you fall on,
right,
is the average person does not relate to multimillionaire professional athletes talking about poor me. It doesn't matter what the subject is.
That's correct.
When what was it? Patrick Ewing came out and said, I might make a lot of money, but I spend a lot of money.
Yeah.
You know, all these things, they in their heads, they think it makes sense. Yeah. Or who was it? That
Richard Sherman video where he cried about the akin to slavery, I think, was the comments he was basically making.
And the average –
they're being taken advantage of or whatever.
Yeah, the average fan cannot relate to these guys complaining. And listen, I don't care what you do. I've done a lot of things in my life that I always dreamt of doing, and then I finally do them. And if you do them for a little while, you start doing, you know, it becomes a job. You know what I'm saying? I mean, doing this, our radio show, you know, it's like something that's what my dream job, man. You do it, and after a while, you're like, man, we got to do this show, or covering the Saints.
Not
you. But I
love this podcast.
I remember when I was covering the Saints back in the day, La Crosse, Wisconsin, I'd spend 3 weeks at training camp. By the time training camp got over, I didn't want to – I mean, it was like – it was enough to turn the TV on just to watch the game.
No, I get you.
So the point is, to them, they think what they're saying, and I'm talking them as professional athletes. The average Joe that goes to work and he's a plumber, he's an accountant or a – man, they don't want to hear that. They look at these guys and say, man, I would give an arm to play with a sport and make that much money, even if it's league minimum. And so – the NFL simply did not handle it, as you said.
They
I'm
didn't
just piggybacking.
Handle it correctly,
The fans do not appreciate it, don't want to hear it, and they don't want to see it. And NFL should have, whatever they did to resolve the issue, they should have done years ago before it evolved into this big old thing.
Well, they should not have let Kaepernick go more than one game. And they should have said, look, we can resolve this differently if you have leadership. And see, this is the thing with Goodell. I think Goodell's been great, as Heath was saying, at marketing the NFL. He got a huge TV contract, you know. He got all the merchandising. You know, I mean, okay, he brought in a lot of money. I mean, billions of dollars to these owners' pockets. So they're happy as can be about that. So they don't mind taking some flack for some other stuff as long as they get those billions of dollars. But when you're looking at attendance, the attendance issue is directly connected to the lack of leadership by Goodell in bringing the matter of what Kaepernick took a knee for, and what all these other players think that they have an issue about. And when they finally supposedly settled it, with saying, "Well, we're going to spend all this money on just certain fundraising issues, certain societies, certain associations." Where they could have done that a long time ago. They didn't have to go through all of this, and it's going to take a while. I'll give you this one, and maybe you might remember it or not. In Major League Baseball, they had a strike. When they had this big strike in Major League Baseball,
when they came back.
Okay, the first strike, right? They lost some attendance, but it sort of came back. And then shortly thereafter, they had a second strike. When they had that second strike, they lost more than half of the, or something long. I mean, some incredible number in their attendance. Where that's when football passed baseball up by a mile as being the number one sport in America.
Yeah.
You know, and it was because, as you said, Dave, the average person who is working stiff, who works 5-6 days a week, can't relate to these million-dollar contracts, multi-million-dollar contracts that these people then cry about, "Oh, I still don't have enough money. You know, I'm still being treated unfairly. You know, I'm still being discriminated against." They can't get it, you know? And so that's the attendance issue to me. And they're not going to be able to resolve it right away. They're going to have to go a different direction if they want to resolve it. So that's my position on it.
All right.
Oh, hey, Ethan, did you hear that Dave, Tomas, and Heath have a new podcast out this week?
No way. That's really cool. We should write a song for it.
BS and Beer is the show. BS and Beer is the show. To find out what Dave, Tomas, and Heath really know. Gotta love that podcast show. Gotta love that podcast show.
BS and Beer Podcast, the worldwide leader in absolutely nothing.
I heard it's the number one place for Saints football news.
How convenient. Thanks, Dave.
My good friends, Joey and Ethan, writing songs for the BS and Beer Podcast.
All right, Tomas. Everybody knows the Saints need a linebacker, and that's what everybody wants.
That's right. Everybody wants to pick 27.
I'm giving a hard time, but I do feel like most people think that linebacker, tight end.
Except for the professional writers, apparently.
No, we need a cornerback.
They got cornerback high. A lot of them don't even talk about linebacker.
Some of them have quarterback.
Oh, yeah, we got quarterback.
Quarterback issues. I just wanted to point out, again, at number 27, the top linebackers that people are really talking about are not going to be there. You know, Rokan Smith. How many people, "Oh, Rokan Smith"? Rokan Smith is a top 10 player. He's not going to be out. He's not going to make it out of the top 10. Okay? The other kid, Evans from Alabama. Mm-hmm. He's a top 15 player. He's not going to make it out of 15. The kid that I liked at first, but now he's got all this press behind him, Tremaine Edmonds from Virginia Tech.
Yep, good ball player.
He'll be gone too. So when you start looking down the list, you're like, well, who's left? Well, now there's some people who talk about one of the linebackers. Now, Malik Jefferson.
Is that the kid from Texas?
He's the kid from Texas.
Yeah.
He's got some things, but he's still on the board when we pick at 27, according to my list. And I was like, no, I don't think he's a good pick at 27. So I wanted to bring up the fact that all these people pulling for a linebacker at 27. My friends, I don't think that there's a quality linebacker for a first-round pick available at number 27. Now, having said that, then I said, well, what's available in free agency? All right, so I went and looked in free agency, and there are a number of players out there in free agency at linebacker. But again, price to value.
Right. That's the key.
You know, you don't want to spend half of what you've got on your cap to sign one of these guys, and then you don't know if he's going to be a bust or not. You know, he might be another wooden Indian. So, if you know what I'm talking about, number 99. So, I have a list here for a couple of, you know, outside linebackers or middle linebackers. But the list isn't great, and this is what I'm telling people. You had Reggie Bush. Reggie Bush was on, because now, since they kicked all these other people out, they brought in some new NFL players.
Yeah.
On
I mean,
NFL.
You notice they got all the Saints. They got all the ex-Saints or Saints supporters.
Yeah.
They all going.
But they brought Reggie Bush in.
All right, we can handle it. Reggie's
so,
a Saint.
Okay. So Reggie was talking about this kid, Preston Brown, 25 years old. He's at the Bills. He's a free agent. Talking about how he was so impressed with him when he was with the Buffalo Bills. Well, again, I looked at the kid's good at run defense, but he's a liability at pass coverage. Well, The majority of these people that are on this list, with the exception of like Nigel Bradham from the Eagles, who's going to want an incredible amount of money, you know, with very few exceptions here, most of these people are either strong at the run, strong at the pass. They're not going to be a three-down linebacker. They're going to be a one, maybe two-down. You don't pay that kind of money for these people. So I just wanted to bring that point up to people who keep, you know, sending me messages. Tomas, linebacker. You know, look, the top quality players are going to be gone in the first 15 picks. So what you have then is say, hey, you know what? We'll wait till round number three. If one of these guys available in round number three, okie dokie. I personally hope that, you know, we're looking at a tight end. I think that that's the best pick at 27. However, I'm going to tell you that the best, from everything I've studied at this point, the best tight end is not even in the top 50 in most of the top 50, top 100, top 125 draft players. I mean, they don't really think that much of tight end positions. And so they've got them way down. So, again, it wouldn't surprise me. I know that a lot of fans would be depressed, but it wouldn't surprise me if they picked the best offensive lineman available out there. If he's on the – again, I'm just saying. You know, now, could be a lot of people thinking, well, what about wide receiver? Well, there are a couple of good wide receivers. One, I can tell you, who, again, will be going in the top 15. You know, when you get to 27, this is the problem of doing really well. When you do really well, have a great season, you had the last few picks, well, you're basically looking at a second-round pick. You're not looking at a first-round pick. Now, as Dave said, if only we would say, you know what, I know you want somebody at 27. We'll trade you our first-round pick for this year. You're number two this year, and you're number one next year. Man, I would jump on that.
The next time the Saints like do that will be the first time the Saints do that.
I don't think that's going to happen at 27 either.
History tells us that that's not what the Saints are going to do.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to bring up that issue of the linebacker because I know some people have asked me about it. And
so then the question is, do you think the Saints ought to go big and try to go up and get a linebacker? Is there a Luke Kuechly or one of those kind of guys in this draft at linebacker?
I would say that and of course, remember now, we have not had the combine, right? So we're talking before all this happens. The consensus is that the kid from Alabama and the kid from Georgia are the two best linebackers in this draft. Rokan Smith and Evans, right? Uh-huh. Those are the two kids. I don't know if it's what. Do you really want to jump up to number five to get Rokan Smith? In my opinion, no. And I will tell you, there's some sleepers. I can't remember the kid's name off the top of my head. But in the Senior Bowl, I think it was, there was a linebacker from South Dakota State. I want to say the same place where the tight end is from, who played, man, he balled out playing middle linebacker. I mean, just an incredible side-to-sider. But I don't get Evans might have even been his name. I can't remember now. But South Dakota State, I do remember that. That kid might be a sleeper. He might be there at the third round. We pick him up, and who knows?
Yeah.
You know? But I'm just saying, I don't think it's worth going up, which is the Saints' history. They would go up. But I just don't see it. I just don't see it, the value. Again, I'm going price the value. You know, we have some good cap space this year, and I think we want to, again, this is why I go back. I think there's certain players that we might not think they're worth that money, but because we have cap room and because we're not going to be signing really big names, I don't think, we probably should pay some of our own players first.
Right. And here's the thing is that we have a lot of guys that we need to pay. I don't see the Saints going after big names.
Nope.
And I think it's going to be more of your
KO.
You know, guys Man like that, KO. Middle tier, well, guys that can help.
Yeah.
And what I would like to see the Saints this year, the way we've drafted the last couple of years, trade back, get a second round draft pick, yeah, and pick up a pick next year or an extra fourth or whatever. But that's just not. Listen, I'm as much as I do it every year, I want to do that. The fact of the matter is, the Saints aren't going to do it. They're more likely to trade up and go after somebody that they think can make a difference. And that's, you know, listen, in a way, as a fan, it's kind of exciting. They don't just sit there and let it come to them. But, I mean, if you're trying to be smart, who knows? I mean, the way they've been drafting, maybe they might change their philosophy.
We have 2 5s and we have 2 6s. We don't have a 2. So, to me, if the smart play, as you say, would be when we get to 27, find out who's interested. If somebody's interested, hey, we need a number two. We don't have a two. All right, we'll pick up a two. We'll give you our number one, but you got to give us something next year, too. Maybe another two next year. I'd be going with two twos, you know, for our one because it's so late in the process. This is really a number two, you know. So that's the way I would look at it. But you never know.
All right, unless you guys have anything else.
I got nothing. For you.
I love it. I missed it, man. Where's Ben? All right, for Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio, I'm Dave Romero. You've been listening to bonus coverage of the BS and Beer podcast. We'll talk to you next week.
Later.
Now you know the rest of the story.
Good day.